Good morning and shalom. We are still connecting to the word of truth from the book of Romans. And today we want to look at the portion of Romans 3, loud 19 to 31. We continue to see how Christ took the sinner's punishment to win their souls. Previously, we discovered that the father of the two sons, in the analogy that we have been using, that the father has two sons, is that he made sure and he made them know that both of them had fallen short of his standards. He made sure that the prodigal son who had gone away or who had run away from home and had been hired in the world systems, and when he came back, because he believed that in his father's house it is better to be there. But when he came back, we discovered that his brother, the firstborn son, the brother, he did not receive him. But when the father is speaking here, he made sure that all of them had fallen short of the standards of the father, and they were in need of a savior. And that's why in this portion of the scripture, he focuses on how Christ took the sinner's punishment to win their souls. Now, we have discovered that the most critical method of winning the souls of a condemned man is to pay their debts and to take up their punishment. Think about it. Somebody is a convict, is condemned to die, but somebody else come and pay the debt, and particularly take the place of their death, and this person is set free. Now that's what we are seeing in this portion. The law of God shows that the entire world, that they are guilty before God, but could not save the people. Jesus became the sacrifice for the sinners, thereby freeing them from the penalty and the power of sin. The condemned person who is freed will not have any more excuses for not believing the one who died their death. So in this portion of the scripture, we find how Christ died so that people will not be justified before God by the works of the law. We discover that the purpose of the law was to show us how sinful we are, how we had fallen short of the standards. But the law did not have the power to help us or to remove us from that situation. It's like the law was a mirror. It will show you how dirty you are. It will show you what ought to be done because of your being dirty, but it will not cleanse you. Now, that's what Christ came and became a sacrifice of sin. That's what we have discovered, that he died, but he died for both the firstborn son and the secondborn son. This is the good news, that he has died for us. This is the salvation, that he has justified both Jews and the Gentiles. To justify, we said, to count them just as if they never sinned. But that one, they were able to stand right before their father. They were supposed to share the table without being guilty. Because there's nothing as bad as a son who is in the presence of his father, but they feel guilty. Can you imagine if the second-born son came back home and he was invited in the table and he was accepted by the father, but he had not accepted himself. He had not felt the joy of the father. He had not felt the joy of salvation. And to make it worse, his brother continued to say, you ran away, you sinned, to remind him of what he had done. So this portion of scripture is reminding both sons, both prodigal sons, the one who had run away and the one who was left home, that they should not feel guilty. They were justified. They were made right with God, not because of the works they have done, not because of what the firstborn son in Luke 15 had told the father, I have been slaving for you. I've been working for you. You have never given me a goat to celebrate with my friends. You see, he had thought that because of his works, he is supposed to be given a goat. Because of what he had worked for the father, because of the works of the law, because of his efforts to make the father happy, because of the services that's given the father, he felt that he was entitled to be considered right, or that he could stand right before God. But the father says, no, not because of what you have done or what you have not done. It is because of what I have done for you. It is because I have accepted you as my son, and I have dealt with guilt in you. So this portion of the scripture, we find that the father is dealing with the guilt so that the sons will be able to eat at the table with the joy of their father, with the joy of one another, having accepted each other as brothers, and not looking at yourself better than the other, and not comparing yourself with one another. So this, we discover, is the best way to win the soul of a lost person, to take their place, to accept them just as they are, to pay their penalty, to justify, to make them just as if they have not sinned, to make them stand right by before God or before the Father, not because of what they have done, but because they have believed. And so this portion pushes us to believe. It pushes us to accept what that the Father has accommodated us. It makes a second-born son to accept himself just as the Father accepted him, and not to allow the statements and the words said by his brother to put guilt in him. So we are dealing with guilt. We are dealing with the feeling that you have failed standards of an authority, standard of a father, and nobody can put up with those standards of the father who is God here, unless God himself help us to come to that far. So this morning, may we be encouraged that the Father has already accepted us. May we believe that in Jesus' name. Father, give us the grace to believe that there is another method to make us right with God, not just our labor, not just what we have done for the Father, but to believe what the Father has done by sacrificing his son, by sacrificing himself on our behalf, that has been able to remove us from the curse of the law and has made us to stand right with him. So give us this grace, give us this faith to deal with guilty mentality in Jesus' name.